Okay, well, we are at the threshold of Chag HaShavuos. I don't want to say exactly how long between us and Shavuos, so as not to jeopardize my Omer count at this late juncture, but Shavuos is nigh. And apropos of the Chag, the topic that I wanted to devote our attention to this evening is that of Talmud Torah itself. Of course, when we talk about Shavuos as the time when we receive the Torah, so when we talk about receiving the Torah, that itself means one of two things. It either means, in the more general sense, the entire package of Torah, all the 613 mitzvahs, each one for what they can do. But beyond that, or more correctly, at the epicenter, when we talk about Kabbalah HaTorah, we focus on Talmud Torah, from which everything stems. And therefore, I wanted to discuss certain aspects and basic qualities and properties and definitions within the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which of course looms very large in the Chag HaShavuos. And the first thing that it's important to establish, as much as we've mentioned it just in the phrase, the mitzvah of learning Torah, important to establish that learning Torah itself is a mitzvah. It would be perhaps easy to relate to learning Torah, maybe not as a mitzvah, as if to say you learn in order to know how to do the mitzvahs. So the mitzvahs are waiting for you on the other side of your learning, but the learning itself is merely preparatory for then using that knowledge to fulfill the mitzvahs. Rather like baking a matzah or building a sukkah, one needs to bake and build one's Torah knowledge in order to fulfill the other mitzvahs. And therefore, to that end, important to note and to emphasize that learning Torah is not only a means to get us to the other mitzvahs, but it itself is a mitzvah in its own right. And it's very interesting to ponder the nature of this mitzvah. And needless to say, a good place to begin is in the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvos, where he discusses all the 613 mitzvahs and he gives a brief description and he traces their sources. And it's most illuminating to see how the Rambam presents the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's in positive mitzvah number 11. And the Rambam says, Hu shetzivanu, this mitzvah is lilmod chochmas haTorah. And I'm using the edition of Reb Chaim Heller here. Lilmod chochmas haTorah, to learn the wisdom of Torah, ulelamda, and to teach it. That's very interesting that the Rambam has placed teaching as a seemingly a twin component within the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and goes on to say, Vezehu shenikra, Talmud Torah. That's called Talmud Torah. I wonder if, perhaps even etymologically, the Rambam is suggesting that the word Talmud, which is a very specific word, is crafted or grafted in order to combine the lilmod and the lilamed, the learning and the teaching. Somehow the two of them together make up the mitzvah. So that definition itself is already quite fascinating. Lilmod ulelamed. That's the mitzvah, to learn and to teach. And what is the source? Rambam provides the source. V'hu amro, as the pasuk says, v'shinantam levanecha. The primary source for the Rambam is the pasuk v'shinantam levanecha. And what's interesting is v'shinantam levanecha really itself focuses on teaching. It doesn't say utilamdeim levanecha. V'shinantam is itself a very specific word. I think the way it's rendered is teach them diligently or whatever v'shinantam means. But v'shinantam levanecha has you giving over Torah knowledge to others. That's the source of the mitzvah of learning in the first place. Now it says levanecha, your children, your sons, but the Rambam cites the Sifrei that all of your tamidim kebonim. That students are like children, and therefore Vishinantam gives you the source of the mitzvah of teaching, and by implication or inclusion also learning. What's interesting is the Rambam goes on to present another interpretation of the word vishinantam, which one might say is closer to the learning side of things. It's a famous drasha. It's from the end of the first parak of Kiddushin, because shanun really means sharp. Shein means sharp, sharp like a tooth. And therefore, vishinant, chitze gibori shinunim, as we say. So vishinanta means sheyu mechudad betoch picha. The words of Torah should be sharp in your mouth. You should be fluent in Torah. Kesha'adam shoel chadavar. If someone asks you something in a matter of Torah, lo te megam game. Don't be stammering and stuttering and hemming and hawing. You should tell him straight away. I often tell my Talmidim, we're called Am Yisrael, but not because the answer to every question is Am. So one should be fluent. The words of Torah should be sharp. So this is very interesting, because important to remind ourselves, we're still in the crucible of Sefer HaMitzvos. We're still in the core definition. This is not a place for elaboration and details. It's the core mitzvah. But the Rambam has identified the pasuk of Vishinantam Lavanecha, which, if we may use the term on a pshat level, is about teaching. But he brings in the drash of Vishinantam is about your own learning. Perhaps that's why the two are combined to to make up the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So these are the Rambam's words. It's important also to note that the Sefer HaMitzvos is not the only place where the Rambam gives a brief description of mitzvahs. If we get to know refamiliarize ourselves with the methodology of the Rambam, he has a section on each mitzvah in Sefer HaMitzvos. But in the Mishneh Torah, where he, so to speak, gets down to business and discusses the halachos, before every set of halachos, the Rambam will inform us which mitzvahs of the 613 mitzvahs he is about to describe. That's the introduction. As we cross the threshold into the halachas, first thing to check in with is how many mitzvahs of Taryag. We see that the concept of Taryag mitzvahs accompanies the Rambam everywhere. It's in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it moves into the Mishneh Torah, and interestingly, and it's noteworthy, that when the Rambam introduces Hilchos Talmud Torah, he says that the first mitzvah he's going to talk about is Lilmod Torah, to learn Torah. The second is to give kavod to Talmidei Chachamim, which is actually many chapters. I think half of Hilchos Talmud Torah is devoted to that. But the one which is about Talmud Torah, the Rambam calls it Lilmod Torah. So it's very interesting. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, it was to learn and to teach. And the Rambam mentioned both of them, and together they're called Talmud Torah. Somehow the teaching got dropped from the core definition of the mitzvah. As we move into the Mishneh Torah, to Hilchos Talmud Torah, it is plainly and simply Lilmod Torah. Okay, and that's how we refer to it, the mitzvah of learning Torah. So having discussed a little bit the basic definition and the source in the Torah, although the Rambam goes on to say in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that the Torah reiterates this on numerous occasions. He quotes other psukim, ulamadetem la'asosam, leman yilmedun. So as far as the Rambam is concerned, those are all reiterations of the mitzvah of learning Torah. As the Rambam himself has told us, he will not count reiterations as separate inclusions in the Taryag mitzvahs. If the Torah repeats something, each time it adds something, but it doesn't become a new mitzvah of Taryag. But it turns out that Vishinantam, we could say Vishinantam Levanecha, is the primary source. And then all of the Velimadatems and Leman Yilmedun will be additional sources, shall we say. But as we move further to consider the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, what does it look like? What does a person look like when they're learning Torah? What is it made of? What are its raw materials? And the background to this question, this perhaps oversimple sounding question, is that we are aware that we can engage in Torah things on one of three levels: thought, speech, and action. Now, most of the mitzvahs, or many of the mitzvahs, we would say, are in the realm of action. You do something. It's a physical action. You wave your lulav, you put in your tefillin, you eat your matzah, and those mitzvahs are easy to define in their own way, certainly to categorize them as mitzvahs which involve an action. Learning Torah is not in the category, obviously, of a mitzvah that involves an action. Thumbs aside. It's clearly going to be either in the realms of speech or of thought. And that now is the question. Which one is it? As if to say, does it require both? Otherwise, a person has not fulfilled the mitzvah. Maybe. In other words, one needs to say something and then to understand it. Is it enough simply to be thinking without speaking? Does one fulfill the mitzvah in that way? What if a person speaks and doesn't really understand what they're saying? That's why it's of utmost importance to try and get a framework for this question. If a person is immersed in thought with regards to a Torah topic and they're not saying anything, are they fulfilling the mitzvah of learning Torah, or are they simply thinking the mitzvah of learning Torah? Some mitzvahs, it's not enough to think. The mitzvah of Hallel, or the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. Those are mitzvahs that involve speech or reading. It's not enough to be thinking about Hallel, or to be thinking about Megillas Esther, even if one reviews in one's mind the entire text of Megillas Esther. One has contemplated in order every single word with deep understanding, but you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Al Mikra Megillah, of reading the Megillah. What about Talmud Torah? And the question would seem to come to a head in what seems to be a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon. As we know, before we learn Torah in the morning, we make Birchas HaTorah. And Birchas HaTorah is not just, quote-unquote, a bracha that we make. It has a relationship to Torah to the extent that one should preface Torah with the blessings, and one should not engage in Talmud Torah before making those brachas. And therefore it's important to identify what is Talmud Torah that one shouldn't do before one has made the brachas on the Torah. Hashem Kedishan, Mitzvot Tzivan, Lasik B'Divrei Torah, etc. The Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Mem Zayin of Orach Chaim, which is the section dealing with Birchas HaTorah, says that one doesn't need to make Birchas HaTorah prior to thinking about Divrei Torah. So if you wake up and a Torah thought comes into your mind, one shouldn't banish it. Moreover, there's no reason for a person not to actively be involved in thinking about a Torah idea. You haven't made Birchas HaTorah yet, but it doesn't matter. You can't speak Divrei Torah before making Birchas HaTorah. And of course, there's all the questions in between. Can you write Divrei Torah? Can you hear someone else say Divrei Torah? All of those in-between things. But just the binary speaking versus thinking. For the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Dalet, it is completely acceptable and in fact, then a good thing for a person to be thinking about Torah even before they have made Birchas HaTorah. The Vilna Gaon, in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, expresses his wonderment as to this ruling. After all, says Vilna Gaon, what are you saying? Are you saying that thinking about Divrei Torah is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? It surely is. After all, does the Pasuk not say, and it's a Pasuk that we will come back to in different capacities, Vehogisa bo yomam valayla. Vehogisa, to think about, to meditate about, that is how Rashi explains, Vehogisa bo yomam valayla, which is a Pasuk, interestingly, said to Yehoshua. It's not in the Chumash, right? It's in the very beginning of Yehoshua, Perik Aleph Pasuk Ches, Staf Torah for Simchas Torah. But nonetheless, we see the Gemara brings it into the discourse. Clearly, it's a codification of core Torah ideas. So part of the mitzvah, or one of the primary sources that deals with Talmud Torah, is this Pasuk, V'hogisa b'yom v'layla. This is the basis of what we say in Ma'ariv, Uvahem Nehege Yomam V'layla. It's based on that Pasuk in Yehoshua. And V'hagisa means to think, says the Vilna Gaon. In that, he is siding with Rashi. Interestingly, the Ibn Ezra explains V'hagisa Yomam V'layla as speaking. And that now is an ongoing question, one could say, between Rashi and the Ibn Ezra. The word higayon, or lehagot, does that mean thinking or speaking? It's an involved question because there are psukim in both directions. On the one hand, we say, vehegyon libi lefanecha. Sounds like higayon is in the heart. Elsewhere, the pasuk says, pi yehege chochmos. Well, that sounds like it's speech. So the question is, the pure term itself, the Hagisa, is it thought or speech? For the Vilna Gaon, it's thought, and therefore, according to the Vilna Gaon, one should not engage in Torah thoughts before making Birkas HaTorah. And it is reported that for the Vilna Gaon himself, this was actually not an easy thing, because the Vilna Gaon is Kulo Torah. What is the first thing he thinks about when he wakes up? Is the Sugya. So it was really a race against the clock to make Birkas HaTorah before the Torah thoughts would inevitably come into his head. I mean, we should all have these problems, but it is an issue as far as the Gaon is concerned. One should make Birkas HaTorah even before thinking about Divrei Torah. It would seem, if we could take stock of this dispute, this halachic dispute between the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon, that they are discussing the question as to whether thinking about Torah is the fulfillment of Talmud Torah. According to the Vilna Gaon, it absolutely is, and therefore one shouldn't do it before making a bracha on the mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch allows it. Is he thereby indicating that, in his opinion, thinking about Divrei Torah is not a fulfillment of Talmud Torah? Possibly, but not necessarily. It could be that it's not so much about the definition of the mitzvah of learning Torah, it's more about how brachos work. We see that Rabbi Yosef Karo mentions in a couple of places that we never find that you make a bracha on thought. There are certain mitzvahs that you can fulfill with thought, but they never get a bracha. That is a principle of Rabbi Yosef Karo. Case in point, bittul chametz, nullifying chametz, according to some Rishonim, Rashi, when you nullify chametz, you fulfill a positive mitzvah called tashbisu. Tashbisu se'omim bateichem, according to Rashi, means to be mevatalit. Unkelus actually translates the word tashbisu as tevatlun. So when a person is with that declaration that we make, kol chamira v'chamia lebatel, it should be ka'afra da'ara, for Rashi, that's a positive mitzvah of the Torah. And yet we never find anyone ever makes a bracha al bittul chametz. The only bracha we make before bedikas chametz is al biur chametz. That's an action. Brachas accrued either to actions or to words. Likroes ha-halel, and so on and so forth. And therefore, it could be that this is the Shulchan Aruch more faithful to his position with regards to brachas. One doesn't make a bracha on thought, and therefore it gets a pass vis-a-vis the bracha. But he's not necessarily indicating that thinking about Divrei Torah is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So certainly the Vilna Gaon, possibly the Shulchan Aruch, to be thinking of Divrei Torah is a fulfillment of a mitzvah of learning Torah. It exists in the plane of thought. But does it also exist in the plane of speech? Meaning, where relevant is it? Should one speak? Should one say the words? Is it enough to read and thereby thinking? The Gemara certainly encourages that a person should read out loud whatever it is that they're learning. There is a famous case, it's in the Gemara in Erevin, in Daf Nun Gimel or Nun Dalet, about Bruria, Rabbi Meir's wife. And she came across someone who, and he was learning, and he was mumbling his learning. And in the way the Gemara describes it, it could be a figure of speech, or maybe it's kipshuto. But Shabbe, she kicked him. And she said, that's not how to learn. You don't learn mumbling, right? You should express things clearly. So Bruria gave him a good bit of musar. But is it key or a requirement with regards to fulfilling the mitzvah itself? Well, according to the Balatanya, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the first Chabad Rebbe in his Shulchan Aruch, whenever one encounters a core text, shall we say, a core text, whether it's Psukim or Mishnayos or the basic text, one should say that out loud. It should be in the realm of speech, according to the Balatanya. That's actually required for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And so we see, in a sense, I think these are things that we intuit, but it's important to see them discussed formally and halachically, the role of thinking in learning with regards to Talmud Torah, speaking, say, enunciating what one's saying as part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's the best combination for sure. And this leads us now to the question of, we've discussed a little bit, what does Talmud Torah look like? And now the question is, well, how long does it last? What are the time requirements? What is the scope of Talmud Torah? Again, as an absolute requirement. Needless to say, the more the merrier. But as a basic requirement, could one define it? Could one formulate it? And indeed, the Rambam does. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perik Aleph Halacha Ches, the Rambam says that a person is chayav likboa lozman the Talmud Torah. One is obligated to fix for himself times for learning Torah by yom uvalayla. One time a day, a fixed time a day, a fixed time at night. Where does that come from? Shene emar v'hagisa bo yomam valayla. Rambam quoting the pasuk that the Vilna Gaon quoted, v'hagisa bo yomam valayla, one should be involved in learning Torah, whatever v'hagisa means, in the day and in the night. It should be kavua. So this is a well-known concept of kviyus itim la Torah, fixing times for Torah, and the Rambam presents it as an obligation. The problem is, if we look at the sources in the Gemara, we will see that no one seems to explain the pasuk in this way. There are two explanations of the pasuk, neither of them are what the Rambam said. And that has set everyone going. To what do we refer? The Gemara in Maseches Menachos, Daf Tzedek Tes Amud Beis. It cites first the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and then the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, two of the great Tanoim. What does Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, or Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Afilu lo kara adam ela kriyat shema shachris va'arvis. Even if all you did was you read Shema in the morning and the evening, which most people do, kiyem, he has fulfilled the mitzvah of lo yomush, let the Torah not depart, which is the beginning of the pasuk of Agisa bayomam valayla. That's all you need. It's something. It's very interesting because as much as we regularly say Shema in the morning and the evening, we might not necessarily look upon it as Talmud Torah, because sometimes mitzvahs use words of Torah, but you're not really doing the mitzvah of learning Torah. You're using Torah for the mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs need a lulav, some mitzvahs need a sukkah, and some mitzvahs need words of Torah. But not always the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. For example, duchening, birchas kohanim. What do the Kohanim say? Psukim. Yivarechecha Hashem Yishmerecha. That's from Parshas Nasa. That's from this week's Parsha. These are psukim in the Torah. But they don't do so in the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They're using these words of Torah to fulfill the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. One may have thought that Kriyat Shema is the same. You're using passages of the Torah in fulfillment of one of the, and it is a separate mitzvah of Taryag, called Kriyat Shema. And therefore enters Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and says, no, it's also Talmud Torah on a basic level. And if you did that, you fulfilled your basic obligation. You said words of Torah in the day and in the night. And then he goes on to say something very interesting. V'davar ze osur le'omro b'fnei Amei Ha'aretz. Don't tell this to Amei Ha'aretz. Why? Because, as Rashi explains, If an Am Haaretz knows that all he needs to do to fulfill his mitzvah Talmud Torah is Kriyat Shema and Shacharis V'Arvis, which he probably is doing, so is V'Bleibt Am Haaretz. That's it. That's the end of him. Because that's easy, and he'll never be encouraged to do anything more. So don't tell him that. It's true, but this is one of those facts that the masses shouldn't know. Interestingly, Rava takes issue with this point. And Rava says, no, it's a mitzvah to tell this to Amei Haaretz. Why? Rashi explains, because you're encouraging them. They might think they have nothing to do with Talmud Torah. All they do is know how to read the Shema. They don't even know that that's Talmud Torah. As far as they're concerned, they have no portion at all in Talmud Torah. Let them know that they do. You never know. Maybe it will spark a thought or trigger an idea. What else can I learn? I know how to do Shema. What else is out there? And one thing may lead to another. So that's a very interesting internal machlokus, really, I guess, more in Hilchos Amaretz, you know, how to deal with people who are Amaretzim. But either way, what we do see is that in pure principle, Reb Shimon ben Yochai is of the opinion, Shema, just Shema in the morning and evening, and you fulfilled your basic obligation. Again, the more the merrier, but your basic obligation is fulfilled with Shema. Then we hear from Rabbi Yishmael, and it comes out in an anecdote that a question that was asked to him by his nephew, Ben Doma. Sha'al Ben Doma ben Achoso shel Rabbi Yishmael. Ben Doma, Rabbi Yishmael's nephew, asked at Rabbi Yishmael the following question. Kagonani, take me. What about me? That what? Shelamadati kol haTorah kula. I've already learned the whole Torah. Okay. Mahu lilmot chokhma yevonis. So now I'd like to learn other things. I'd like to learn Greek wisdom, Greek philosophy. So is that acceptable? Can I do that? And Rabbi Yishmael said, Kara alav hamikra hazeh. Rabbi Yishmael answered by reading this pasuk, which says, Lo yomosh sefer haTorah zemipicha, the words of Torah should not depart from your mouth. V'hakisa b'yomam v'layla, meditate on them, yomam v'layla. Now, in answer to your question, said Rabbi Yishmael, and it's very interesting, just parenthetically, Rabbi Yishmael didn't reject the notion that his nephew had learnt the entire Torah. One could have anticipated that he would have rebuffed him on such an assertion. You've learnt the whole Torah. He would have sent him to some spiritual corrective rehabilitation for saying such a thing. But he didn't do that. He accepts the premise. Okay, let's say you've learned the whole Torah, but the point is, though, that the mitzvah of learning Torah is yomam v'layla. So here's what you need to do. Tzei uvedok sha'a she'ena lo min hayom v'lo min halayla. All you need to do, it's completely fine for you to pursue your Greek philosophy. All you need to do is find a time which is neither day or night, and then enjoy yourself. You can do what you want. But as long as the time is either day or night, and of course all time is either day or night, Ben Hashmashos is still one or the other, or maybe both. So that was Rabbi Shmuel's way of saying no, because all of your involvement day and night needs to be in Torah. There isn't really room for other things. It's an ongoing involvement. Thus far, in brief, the two opinions in Maseches Menachos, Daf Tzadik Tes Amud Beis, about this pasuk V'algisa Bayomam V'Layla. And with this in mind, and they're very extremely apart from each other, they're distant from each other. For Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the daily requirement is, so to speak, minimal. Just Shema, on a basic level, as an obligation. For Rabbi Yishmael, it's maximal. It's the whole time. But now, go back to the Rambam, because the Rambam's quoted this pasuk of Vahgisa Bayom Valayla and said a person is chayev to set aside times for learning in the day and the night. And we now, having appraised ourselves of the background in the Gemara, this is like no one. It's like neither of the above. It's certainly not like Rabbi Yishmael, because for Rabbi Yishmael, Yomam Valayla means day and night without interruption. The Rambam didn't say that. Fixed times. But he didn't say without interruption. But it's also not like Reb Shimon ben Yochai, because for Reb Shimon ben Yochai, your chiyuv is satisfied with Shema. Maybe you don't even need to set aside another time. So the Rambam is in the middle, and of course the Rambam famously encourages the middle path, but in a case like this, it's not acceptable, because he's like no one. Being in the middle is a polite way of saying that you're not like anyone. So who is the Rambam Paskal like? So there is a fascinating, before we get to the approach that we'd like to develop a little bit more, but there's a fascinating comment of the Lechem Mishnah, and that is that the Rambam really is like Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Now, except Reb Shimon ben Yochai said, Shema, why is the Rambam saying more than that? Says Lechem Mishnah, the answer is very simple. Because the Rambam Paskal is like the opinion that you shouldn't tell a Amma Oretz that they can be Yotze with Shema, so he didn't tell. In other words, and it raises a very interesting question, in that the Rambam explicitly is writing for people who are Ami Haaretz. He's not excluding Torah scholars. He welcomes all Torah scholars to read a Sefer also, but the Sefer is explicitly designed for people who cannot learn Gemara, but they need to know something. So that you're talking about Amaratzin. It at the very least needs to be accessible to Ami Haaretz. Once that's the case, so then it's not a simple matter to say something that the Gemara says you shouldn't tell Ami Haaretz. The Rambam originally wrote the Mishneh Torah for people. If they don't have access to the Gemara, they should be able to know everything they need to know by learning the Mishneh Torah. Of course, ironically, in our times, most of the people who open the Rambam do so in conjunction with the mitzvah of studying the Gemara. So that's how it is. But for the Rambam, he's certainly addressing Ami Haaretz, so one has to act in accordance. But that itself now raises the question, well, what about the Gemara? Does the Gemara expect Ami Haaretz to be learning Menachos, Daf Tzadik Tes, and get to the point where it tells you something and says not to learn Ami Haaretz, but Ami Haaretz are listening in? So then they know. Could it be that the Gemara did not expect Amaratzim to have access to that? Certainly not when the message was originally said, and that's a very interesting shaila. It is, of course, true that Amaratzim are not what they used to be. Not only are Tamidei Chachamim not what they used to be, Amaratzim are not what they used to be. This Reb Zalman of Elojin said the gulf between Tamidei Chachamim and Amaratzim, it narrows with time. Yeridas Hadover says that Tamei Chachamim are not of the stature they used to be, but in a positive way, Ami Haaretz are not of the stature they used to be. Most people, even your Ami Haaretz nowadays, he's more informed and more lettered than the Ami Haaretz back in the day. So maybe it's acceptable already at this stage. Either way, so that's the Lecha Mishnah's suggestion that the Rambam, he's giving the Ami Haaretz approved version of Reb Shimon ben Yochai. One should encourage them to learn more. But it could be that the psak of the Rambam of Chayav to be Koveya Itim by day and night is coming from somewhere else. Because there is a parallel sugya also involving the very same two personalities, Reb Shimon ben Yochai and Reb Yishmael. I venture to suggest the second Gemara is more well known than the first one. It's in Maseches Brachos, on Daf Lamed Hey, Amud Beis, also seemingly discussing this pasuk of V'hagisa Bayom V'alayla, and that's how it begins. And Rabbi Yishmael says, he begins with the pasuk in Shema, V'asavta Diganecha, bring in the harvest. Bringing in the harvest means that you're available to bring in the harvest. What does this mean? Since the pasuk says lo yomor sefer Torah zemipicha, that the words of the Torah shouldn't depart, yachol devarim kichsavan, I might think literally a person is never able to stop learning for anything. Talmud lomar, so the pasuk says v'asavta deganecha. No, alongside the learning, bring in the harvest. Hanhig bahen minhag derech eretz. Minhag derech eretz here, like Talmud Torah derech eretz, means also parnasa, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, that's his approach. But Reb Shimon ben Yochai takes issue with him, and he expresses it very dramatically. Amar Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Can it be a person is threshing plowing in the plowing season, sowing in the sowing season, reaping in the reaping season, threshing in the threshing season, he's winnowing when there's wind, between one thing and another, Torah matei aleh. What's gonna be with his Torah? And that is why, says Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, this Derech Eretz approach, accompanying Torah, is not the ideal. The ideal is Ela Bizman Shi Yisrael Osim Ritzono Shel Makom, when the Jewish people are fully acting in accordance with Hashem's will. Melachto Nasis Ayedei Acherim, their work will be done by others. And he quotes the pasuk Shneimar V'amdu Zarim V'ra'u Tzonachem. Others will come; they will tend your sheep. Uvizman she'ein Yisrael osim ratzono shel makom. If it's if they're not at their maximum level, so then melachto nasus ayidei achirim, they'll have to take care of their own melacha. Shenemar ve'asavta diganecha. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai explicitly takes issue with Rabbi Yishmael, seemingly on what is the role of learning Torah together with other pursuits. For Rabbi Yishmael, there's room for v'asavta diganecha, says Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. That's not ideal. Now here too, the question is, well, who's the halacha like? Interestingly, the Gemara has a word of lead out here. It's kind of enigmatic, but many mafarshim explain it in the same way. Amar Abaya, har be'osu k'Rabbi Yishmael ve'osu b'yada. Many people did like Rabbi Yishmael, and it worked out well for them. K'Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai ve'lo osu b'yada. Many people tried to do like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, didn't work out for them. That's a very interesting concluding sentence. Normally, when we have a machlokas, we expect one of the Amoraim to paskin, say halachas like him, halachas like him. Abaya didn't say the halachas like either of them. He just seems to have given this description. You know, many people did very well by Rabbi Yishmael's approach. So what do you mean to say? The halachas like him? He never said that. Many people tried Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's approach. Didn't work out so well for them. So what do you mean to say? The halachas not like him? It stops short of a psak, seemingly. But Rabbi Chaim of Elazian, and the Chofetz Chaim quotes it in the Bir Halacha, many come to the same understanding. What Abaya is saying is that for the many, Rabbi Yishmael is the way forward. Many people did like Rabbi Yishmael, and it worked out well for them, because Rabbi Yishmael's way is the way of the many. Many people tried to do like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, just Torah, it didn't work out for them. So what are you saying? Not to do, so one, are you sidelining or completely pushing aside Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's approach? Not at all. It's just not for the many. It's for some people. And therefore one cannot give a categorical answer to this question. It's not a yes or no, and it's not one size fits all, and it's not everyone should be do this or everyone should do this, but rather it's about the Rabbim and the Yechidim. And this corroborates, or parallels more correctly, the well-known statement discussion in the end of Maseches Kiddushin. Rabbi Meir also there speaks in praise of finding or teaching a person's son what's called an umnas nekiya vekala. Find your son and teach him a clean and easy trade. That's quite a challenge in our times, but nonetheless, that's what's encouraged. That's what you should do. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Nehoroi. Rabbi Nehoroi chimes in and says, Maniach ani kol umna shebaolam. I'm setting aside every trade. Ve'eini melamed b'ni ela Torah. I'm only teaching my son Torah. Seems like a rehash of the earlier dispute. Rabbi Meir seems to be like Rabbi Yishmael, encouraging a trade. Rabbi Nehoroi seems to be like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, eschewing any such involvements, only Torah. The problem is, the Gemara in Eruvin says that Rabbi Nehoroi is none other than Rabbi Meir. Nehora is an Aramaic for light. Rabbi Nehoroi and Rabbi Meir are one and the same person. So now, it's harder to see it as a machlokas. Rather, say the Mefarshim, Rabbi Meir is talking about a general directive. And for people generally, the way forward is umnas nekiya vekala, like Rabbi Yishmael. But then Rabbi Nehoroi says, but my own son, who I identify as someone who is a good candidate for the Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, he's one of the Yechidim, meniach ani kol umsha ba'olam, ve'eni melamed b'ni ala Torah. I see within him someone that could do very well for Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, but I wouldn't recommend it for everyone. So in the end, the Gemara is paskening on this question of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Torah alone, or Torah with a trade. It comes down to the Rabbim versus the Yechidim. Of course, define Rabbim and Yechidim. That's not an easy question. I mean, that will mean who are the Rabbim and who are the Yechidim, but if one can only define that, one's way is clear. Either way, for our purposes, even before we, or as we take a step back from which of the opinions do we rule like in that dispute in Brachas between Rabbi Shimon and Shimon ben Yochai, we cannot help but notice that their opinions contradict what they said in the first Gemara, in Menachos, each of them. In other words, Rabbi Yishmael in Menachos, if it's day or night, it's Torah. If it's either during the day or during the night, it's Torah. The Vakisa Bayom of Alayla seems to take it literally. But in Brachas, he says, it's not to be taken literally. There's room for other things. Vasata de Ganecha. That seems to be a bit of a contradiction within Rabbi Yishmael. Is it absolutely Torah as per the Gemara in Menachos, or Torah also with other things as per the Gemara in Brachas? But Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai seems to contradict himself even more. Because in the first Gemara, he said that you fulfilled your obligation with Kriyat Shema. It sounds like the rest of the day is yours. But in Maseches Brachos, in the second Gemara, he doesn't even seem room for Parnasa. There shouldn't be any other involvement. So he's gone from 0.1 involvement to 100%. So what's the resolution? Rabbi Yishmael is relatively straightforward to resolve. Because what Rabbi Yishmael is saying is, in terms of parnasa, to earn a livelihood, that's something that one can do alongside learning Torah. But that's got nothing to do with Greek philosophy. I mean, he's not learning Greek philosophy for a livelihood. It doesn't provide a livelihood even nowadays. And certainly not at that time. And therefore, it's an intellectual pursuit. So in other words, the harmonization of these two statements of Rabbi Yishmael is that Parnosa is an exception, because the person needs to provide a livelihood. Or as the Vilna Gaon says, that Parnosa itself is a mitzvah. So you make time for all mitzvahs, even if you learn, including Parnosa. But if it's the stam an intellectual pursuit, extraneous, so then if it's day or night, there's no time for something like that. So it turns out that the full picture of Rabbi Yishmael is quite rigorous. Parnasa aside, it really is a ongoing involvement in Torah. That would be the result, the reconciliation of Rabbi Yishmael. But what about Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai? So this leads us to another interesting question. When we talk about mitzvahs, you can categorize mitzvahs in one of two ways. Mitzvahs that are action-based, action-orientated, and mitzvahs that are result-orientated. For some mitzvahs, the mitzvah is to do an action. And when the action's done, the mitzvah's done. For other mitzvahs, the mitzvah is to achieve a certain result. If that result is not achieved, the mitzvah is not done, regardless of what action you did. An example of each to put names to faces. Waving lulav, shaking lulav, netilas lulav, is an example of an action-based mitzvah. You pick up the lulav, you shake it, and then you've done your mitzvah. What do you do after that? You put it down again. Consider, after you've done your mitzvah act, the lulav is exactly where it was before you started. So what did you achieve? What did you affect? What result did you affect? The mitzvah is not to affect a result, it's to do an act, and that you did. You waved the lulav. But an example of a result-based mitzvah would be putting up a railing around one's roof. V'asisa ma'akela gagecha. That's a mitzvah. Now it involves an action, but the fulfillment of the mitzvah is in the result. Imagine a person who would put up a railing around his roof and then take it down again. Exactly what he did to the lulav in Shachris, he's doing to the railing in mid-morning. So he hasn't achieved anything, because the focus of the mitzvah is the result, that the railing stays standing. So these are deed-based mitzvahs and result-based mitzvahs. And now we ask the question, Talmud Torah, which category, even within the realm of learning, which category does it enter or does it partake of? Is it action-based? And of course, when we mean action, we mean it's the process of learning. That itself is the mitzvah, to be engaged in learning, regardless of what the result. And what would the result be if he remembers and knows what it is that he learned afterwards? Or is it result-based? As if to say, if he learned and learned and learned and then forgot everything, it's like he put up the railing and then took it down again, or it fell down again. So which of these categories does Talmud Torah belong to? And what many Mefarshim say, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter has a famous discussion about this, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein concurs, as do others, that actually Talmud Torah partakes of both. How can we say it partakes of both? Because there are two sources for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and each one is emphasizing a different aspect of the mitzvah. The pasuk of the Hagisa b'yomam v'layla is about the involvement. It's about the time that you spend, and that's your mitzvah. If you're thinking about Torah, you're doing the mitzvah. What happens afterwards? Hopefully you'll remember it. But even if you don't, but for its time, you were involved. And that's your mitzvah. You were thinking about it. You did v'hagisa b'yomam v'layla. So that is a process-based mitzvah. But isn't there also the pasuk of v'shinantam levanecha, which Rambam quoted in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which says that words of Torah need to be fluent in your mouth. Mechudadim b'ficha. You need to know. You need to to retain knowledge. You need to have fluency and clarity. That's a result-based. It's not enough to have spent the time. You need to have the results. And so it emerges that learning Torah really has these two elements. If ever there was room for the classic Tzvedinim of Brisk, it's within Talmud Torah itself. The process is one aspect of the mitzvah, one branch of the mitzvah, and the result of Torah knowledge is the other branch. And now, says the Chidah, putting the two together, we can understand, finally, the ruling of the Rambam, that a person is obligated to set aside times for learning in the day and in the night. On the one hand, in terms of the process of learning Torah, in that regard, he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yishmael. It's not day and night without interruption. He paskins like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Something in the day and something in the night. And as far as the process goes, even Shema would suffice, as Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says. But the Rambam says that you're required to do more than say Shema in the day and in the night. Why? Because there's another aspect of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You need to know. And if all you ever do is say Kriyat Shema in the morning and the night, you'll never have any Torah knowledge. And whatever happened to Vishinantam Levanecha? Clearly, you need to make time to develop and increase and enhance your Torah knowledge. That takes time. Not the whole time, but it takes time. Time set aside. And therefore, when one sees the blend, and that's really Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, that's the resolution of the two statements of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, in the first Gemara in Menachos, when he says that Kriyat Shema in the morning and the evening suffices, that's in terms of the involvement per se, because it's something in the day and something in the night. But when Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says one should aspire to be learning Torah only, that's because from where will one's Torah knowledge come? It will optimally come if a person is involved in Torah alone. So the two statements of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai really reflect the two aspects of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and the Rambam put them together. It's interesting to note, and this I think is a very helpful in terms of crystallizing for us the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but I would mention parenthetically, there's a famous analysis and discussion of the Rogatra Vagon with regard to tefillin. We know that there's two parts to tefillin, Shel Yad and Shel Rosh, and what's the difference between them? Only location, meaning they're both basically the same thing, but one goes on the arm and one goes on the head. The Rogatra Vagon develops the idea that actually not only are these two tefillin go in different places, they're actually two different types of mitzvah. In his formulation, the mitzvah of tefillin shel yad is the action of putting on the shel yad. The mitzvah of tefillin shel rosh is the result that the shel rosh is on the head. One is to be involved in an action, and the other is to achieve a state or a result. And it's for this reason, says the Rogatchover, that if you look at the nusach of the bracha for each of the tefillin, it's different. The bracha for the tefillin shel yad is about the action, lehaniach tefillin. because that's the action. The bracha for Shel Rosh is al mitzvah tefillin. It's much more general. It's the mitzvah of tefillin. The focus is not the action. The focus is the result. And one could say, I don't know if the Robert Sharma says it, that I haven't seen it, this part quoted, but one could say that one can see this distinction in the pasuk itself. Because in the Shema, when it says about the tefillin shayad, it talks about the action. Ukishartam le'os, tie them al yodecha. When it talks about the sharosh, it says v'hayu, how it should be. It doesn't even focus how you got there. It just has to be there. Now, obviously, it can't be there if you didn't put it there, but that's not the emphasis. The Rogachover then discusses halachic ramifications between this type, but it is very interesting that you have those two categories of mitzvahs really are both live within the mitzvah of tefillin. And what's worth pondering in terms of our discussion is why, or what are we to make of this? But we know that the mitzvah of tefillin itself is a kind of a micro-representation of learning Torah. The Pasuk says in Parshas Bo, one should put on tefillin, Leman tiyeh Torah Hashem beficha. So tefillin in their own way represent Talmud Torah. And now perhaps we can understand why there's two types of tefillin, and they're really two different types of mitzvahs, because as representations of Torah, that's what Torah is like. Also two types of mitzvahs. The Shel Yad, which is more about the action, the process, so that corresponds to the Vagisa Vayoma Valaila, the act, the process of being involved. The Shel Rosh, and of course, what does the arm do if not action? The Shel Rosh, which is about the state, the result, Vayulata Tavos Beninecha, that corresponds to the result of a person who has Torah knowledge in their head. And so it turns out that these two parts of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah are reflected in the two component parts of the mitzvah of tefillin. And perhaps one could say more. And although it's obvious, I think it's really reinforced by the halacha here. The halacha states that the Shel Yad always comes before the Shel Rosh. And moreover, one is not allowed to wear the Shel Rosh by itself. And perhaps what this is emphasizing for us is that even the result, one should never forget, the result that the Shel Rosh represents, Torah knowledge in one's head, it doesn't come from nowhere, it doesn't come from out of the blue, it doesn't just spring up. It's a result of the Shel Yad. All of that effort and all of that engagement and all of that involvement and all of that application represented by the Shel Yad, you need it in order to get you to the result of the Shel Rosh. And therefore the Shel Rosh can never be worn by itself, only in conjunction and following on from the Shel Yad. What we do see is that learning Torah, every time we sit down to learn Torah, it's the fulfillment of its own self-contained mitzvah of Taryag. To come back to the point with which we started, shouldn't be understood or misunderstood that learning Torah is necessary as a means towards knowing how to fulfill the mitzvahs. Involvement and engagement in Torah itself is connecting the person to the giver of the Torah. What are mitzvahs all about if not to forge that connection? And so if a person is intellectually setting up that connection when learning Torah, that's why Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah. In the words of the Baal HaTanya, Hashem's is expressed through his will. When you learn Torah, you engage in Hashem's will. If you have Hashem's will on your mind, then you have Hashem in your brain. And that is the connection that's what mitzvahs are looking to achieve. And that's why we say Talmud Torah is keneged kula. But if there's ever a time, of course, it's important to appreciate every day, but to reinforce and rejuvenate as we come to Chag HaShavuos, we receive the Torah with the words Na'aseh V'Nishma. Na'aseh V'Nishma, we will do and we will hear. And as many Mefarshim point out, you can't do before you hear. What are you going to do? You don't know. So should it not have said Nishma V'Na'aseh, to hear and do? Says the Beis Halevi, no. Because if the Pasuk had said Nishma V'Na'aseh, and Nishma refers to hearing words of Torah, and you put that before doing, the implication is we only need to hear in order to know how to do. The Nishma is just a segue or a tributary into Na'aseh. But that's not true. because the nishma is a self-contained value. Even if we know, and even if we're involved in an area of halacha which is or terror which is not currently practical or practicable or not by us, but nonetheless, it itself is the mitzvah. Drosh v'kabel sachar. It's a mitzvah, Talmud Torah. And to that end, the Jewish people said, Nishma v'nase. Pardon me, nase v'nishma. Nase means we'll do. Now, obviously, we will do incorporates knowing what to do. But the nishma doesn't end there. There is nishma after nase. And that is the nishma as the value itself of the mitzvah of learning Torah. And I think an appropriate way to conclude is really by reaching back to the end of last week's shiur, where we spoke about the idea that the Mishkan represented the moving of Hashem's Shekhinah from Har Sinai now to the Ohel Moed. The very same kavod that was there when we started to receive the Torah, kavod that is kavod HaShekhinah, is now in the Ohel Moed as we continue to receive Torah. Because every time one learns something, one is receiving Torah. As we may have expressed it then, learning Torah is not an event that happened 3,300 years ago. It is a process that began 3,300 years ago. It continues every day until our time. But that all the more behooves us to be sure that once we realize that when we learn Torah, we're receiving Torah, we need to remember what it's like to receive Torah. What does it mean to receive Torah? The Pasuk says we should remember Ma'amad Har Sinai constantly. Raki shomer lecha u'shmor nafshecha p'nishkach es advarim. According to the Ramban, it is one of the Tariag mitzvahs to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai. Rambam curiously does not codify it in Tariag, but the Ramban does. And the question is, perhaps a simple question, why should one remember? Why should one remember constantly Ma'amad Har Sinai? Now one could say, well, the answer is obvious. That's where Torah comes from, and that's where mass revelation and our faith and all of that. And all those answers are good answers. But the Ramban says there's more. The reason why you have to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai constantly, because you have to remember what it was like. And what was it like? There was an atmosphere that was conducive to receiving the Torah. All the things that we will read about on Mitzvah Shem on Shavuos morning, the thunder and the lightning and the fire and the smoke and the mountain is quaking. I think it's fair to say there is as much space devoted to a description of what it was like receiving the Torah than what was actually said there. Because what it was like is an equal partner to receiving the Torah. If you're not in a frame to receive the Torah, if you don't have the correct orientation towards the Torah, the correct regard and the correct reverence and the correct love and the correct appreciation, so then you're not ready to receive the Torah. Not then and not now. And that's why, says Ramban, obviously one doesn't look to recreate the entire scene kipshuto of Ma'amad Har Sinai every time one learns. But Bezeer Anpin, at least some reverberation of that atmosphere that was required in order for the process of receiving the Torah to be initiated should also be there on an ongoing level, on a maintenance level, on a working level, as we continue to receive the Torah through learning Torah every day. So these, I think, are thoughts that are very appropriate to accompany us into the special day of Chag HaShavuos. And of course, the Limud Torah is of the great merits for the Jewish people. The Jewish people are in need of merits, each individual, and certainly the Jewish people as a whole. And so, as Chag HaShavuos is described by the Gemara, and certainly by later Mefarshim, really as the Rosh Hashanah for Torah. So it should be a Shana Tova for us, it should be Shana Tova Muvarechas. We should be Zohar to pulsate again with the receiving of the Torah. And that should cast its light throughout the year, should be a zechus for us, and we should have b'seres tovos, yeshuas v'nechamas, b'karov, a good yom tov, and all the best.